Welcome to the Faculty Factory Podcast. I'm Kim Skorupski here at Hopkins, looking at my friend and colleague, Dr. Robert Bob Tillman. How you doing, Bob?
I'm great, Kim.
Of course you are. I expect nothing less than greatness from Dr. Robert Tillman, who is an associate professor in the Department of Education, Innovation, and Technology, the Director of Professional Development and Mentoring in the Graduate School of Biomedical Sciences, and the Assistant Dean of Faculty Affairs and Faculty Development at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Bob Tillman's going to talk next about what's your superpower, playing to your strengths, strengths-based coaching and that approach. And he's going to end with one thing, one nugget. Go, Bob.
Exactly. And my one nugget, thank you, Kim. Thank you again. It's great to be able to be here to talk about strengths-based coaching. So, just to be totally transparent, I am kind of an assessment junkie, and maybe by accident, right? So, so I'm trained to do a few assessments, and one is Clifton Strengths. So I've been trained to do Clifton Strengths. There's a reason why I want to focus on that, because I'd like to say it's one of the more gentler approaches, but I am a strengths-based junkie. I have a binder, and not the small binder, not the one-inch binder, right? We're talking about whatever the jumbo binder is filled with, like,
binder man.
A whole binder.
Was that your Halloween costume? You were binder man? I am binder
actually,
man.
That would be interesting. Thank you. And you know what? It would be not only like inventive, but I could recycle as well.
There you go. I love Clifton Strengths. I just grab mine to remind myself: input, strategic, futuristic, achiever, and intellect.
Oh, very interesting. So those are your five. Those are your five. Would you like to know my five?
I absolutely would, Dr. Strengths? Bob.
Okay. And I'm going to share this because a lot of us think strengths finders, like Clifton Strengths, Gallup, you know, sometimes it's Gallup, and we can talk about that. But my strengths on Clifton is woo. Surprise, right? This is shocking, right? Like, I've never met a person I couldn't talk to. And sometimes it's a dog, sometimes it might be a frog, whatever I encounter.
Dogs are my favorite people.
Exactly. Communication.
Yes.
Learner. Surprise, I'm in faculty development, right? Learner. Responsibility. That's an interesting one. And we might follow back with that because I find that to be really, really fascinating when I have explored that particular strength. Arranger. So, you know, I combine my communication woo with arrangement. So I always know where I can place someone. And if you want to find a job, you know, it's like, let me go to my network and I'm going to match you, right? So I know where you sit. Self-assurance and futuristic. So I did a little bit more than just the top five, right? There's 34. Clifton Strengths, right, has identified 34 kind of themes, right? And so you can pay for the top five, but all 34 are interesting, just to appreciate that those at the bottom, I really don't use. They're not strengths. So let's go back, right? People are kind of saying, I think if you take in Clifton Strengths, you know what we're talking about, right? So let's go back and kind of frame this. So if you heard those terms, we all have talents, we all have certain strengths, right? And I'm going to leave with you, I'll leave with you with the nuggets, right? So even if you don't want to take Clifton Strengths, if you don't want to do any other assessments, five questions to think about that will help you probably identify your particular strengths, because we likely have an awareness of them. We just don't have the mirror, I like to say, right, that shows us in detail exactly what those strengths are, like Clifton would be, or VIA is another great tool that I've been involved with. So, I like to say strengths-based, awareness, right? So we take the assessment as well as coaching are really tools that can be used for your professional and personal development. And the whole concept is if we can identify and leverage our strengths, we will probably be met with success in whatever we're doing. A lot of us, might be familiar with Gallup or Clifton Strengths. And, you know, Don Clifton was one of the pioneers in positive psychology. He, before Gallup was created, he did selection research, was his company. I believe that's the term for it. But he was, you know, one of the pioneers in positive psychology. And so Gallup Clifton Strengths Assessment is his tool, right? Him and his team developed that tool. And there's 34 themes to that. A lot of our students, you know, if you probably went to Hopkins Career Services office, strengths finders might be something that is used with students, and that's helped them to identify their strengths and to think about what career paths I could match those strengths with in terms of what's expected of me in that particular career. So there's strengths finders and strengths quest. And there's also one that I said that I've used is the VIA Institute on Character. Has a nice assessment. I learned about that from Lewin Thorndike, which is a colleague at UT Del Austin and is a master educator. And that was developed by Dr. Martin Seligman and Dr. Christopher Peterson, right, at UPenn. And they do some great stuff. PERMA is the other theme. If you type in PRMA, there's a lot of good stuff too. But VIA is another one. So there's all these instruments. They're all based on identifying what your strengths. So let's talk about what is a strength, right? And I'm going to kind of go back into my Gallup, you know, wording and use their approach, Clifton Strengths, you know, kind of vocabulary here, because that's what I'm most familiar with, but it works. It's more general. So as we think about that, you know, within Clifton Strengths, you know, they talk about talent, right? And so their definition of talent is a naturally occurring pattern of thought, feeling, or behavior that can be productively applied. So it's an innate power and potential you have. And so, you know, we can look at people and say, you know, you have a talent for speaking, or you have a talent for connecting other people. You have a talent for, you know, really thinking about second order outcomes, right? Like, if I do X, what's Y going to be, right? And so these are talents. And so I like to say strength is the ability to consistently produce a positive outcome through the near perfect performance in a particular task. So strength is I'm going to tap into that talent. And because it's a talent, I'm naturally good at it. So let's focus on improving my performance, right, based in that talent. So I can really apply that in ways that's going to be at the top of performance, right, on a very consistent basis. And so, and so I like to, you know, within Clifton Strengths and within my coaching, you know, I like to say, let's focus on your strengths, right? They come from your talents. And, you know, most of the time in the work that we do, you know, we always say, well, you know, sometimes, you know, we think about, well, it's a weakness. I need to improve that, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have to be perfect in everything. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, boy, you know, if I'm not really talented in that, the amount of effort and the reward I'm going to get from really working on improving that, you know, not so strength, right? The things at the bottom of those 34 things that I probably don't like to do, I'm not talented in. I'm just, you know, it's not going to really make an impact in how I work, versus understanding how those top five strengths can be applied to whatever situation I'm in. And you know, and I think that's a mindset change for many of us. And how we're kind of taught, right? I got the F in something. I need to work up to a B or an
A. You know? Right. It's a whole experience of you're teaching a class of 100 students and you get, you know, one bad evaluation and you focus on that one bad evaluation versus the 98, 99 good. But then you think, making me think of appreciative inquiry, asset-based inquiry, where like, what are we doing well? What is working well in that community, in that department, in that family, in that focus on the assets and the positives, not at the expense of like, well, let's not talk about the bad things. But yeah, you're right. Reframing, flipping kind of like lowers the temperature maybe of it's not all that bad. You're not a horrible human being. You're not, doesn't mean you're going to fail. It means let's kind of flip it around. What are you really great at? And how can you leverage that greatness to work on those other things? And also to look for teammate, to look for people in your network to build people who have those other complementary strengths. Boom.
And that's it, right? You know, I always tell people, like, you are here doing your thing you're doing, right? That one thing you're doing, right? It's multiple things, but that one special thing you're doing, right? Because that's how academe is situated. I always tell them, you know, how are those strengths showing up? You're all doctors, right? Or you're all, you know, but you know, and maybe in different disciplines, or you're all researchers or scientists or educators, right? Like, that's academia, you're there, but how are your strengths showing up and how are they adding, right, to the larger community and to the benefit of it? So how are you optimizing your potential? And that is really about what strengths is. You know, I'm going to recognize my strengths. I'm going to be self-aware of them. And that's also going to lead to my confidence, because these are the things you've been practicing all of your life, right? And developing all of your life and doing well by that. So just owning it, right? And how do you continue to maximize it, you know, improve upon that, so you have a consistent performance around that. And really that leads to engagement. So I always tell people, you know, when they come, it's like, I'm bummed, right? And there's might be self-efficacy, but I always like to say, well, where are your strengths showing up? Like the things that you do well. Mm-hmm. And usually there, they're not showing up. I'm not being able to leverage that, right? I'm not finding ways to practice it. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times it's like, let's, you know, that's what we need to work on, right? Mm-hmm. Where are you going to find that? How you're going to bring that strengths out? Because, you know, this is Gallup data, so I'm assuming it's true. There's no reason why not to. But, you know, one of the things that in the training that we go through is when people are focused on using strengths, they're 6 times as likely to report being engaged in their jobs. Hmm. And, you know, and as we think about why that's important is obviously, you know, I'm doing my best work. I'm probably having a positive impact on other people in the environment of which they're working. I'm having probably a positive impact on my patients or my students or whoever else I'm interfacing with in the work that I'm doing. Go back to the point, you know, we're working on teams or we're engaging with other people. And so that allows us to say, here's the gift I am bringing into that relationship with you or into that team with you. And we can acknowledge each other. And I think that can be really, really helpful.
You know, what I appreciate so much about you, you know, endorsing and being trained in and coaching around Clifton strengths and just bringing this up on the podcast is something that just, I find it odd that sometimes I learn through with myself and with other faculty that, you know, we mentor and coach and work with, is on some level, maybe people think, well, duh, isn't it obvious what your strengths and talents and, you know, and your gifts are? So like I would be able to look at Bob and go, well, duh, of course I know that he's great at woo and he's, you know, optimistic and he's outgoing. He's a great communicator and he's certainly, you know, about learner. And yet I find that some people, including me, don't appreciate that strength or my own strength or my own gift or talent. I don't know that because I'm so accustomed. It's such a default way of being for me that I think that the fact that I'm organized or that I, you know, that I'm futuristic or whatever is, uh-huh. I don't think about it as a thing because it's just so part of it. I take it for granted. And it took, I've shared this before the podcast, it took a former boss of mine to say, I'm like, well, this is kind of silly. Like anybody can do this. It's not a big deal. And she looked at me she's like, no, Kim. Everybody can do this. And I'm like, well, of course, it's just so easy to me. It's like falling off a log. She's like, it's easy log falling off for you because that is a natural gift in your strength. And I was like, what? So putting language around or explicitly acknowledging and telling someone, no, Bob, you are really good at responsibility. I'm like, well, you'd be like, well, is everybody? No. So I think that's so valuable about what you're bringing to Baylor and to the world now is that we don't always know these things. So awareness.
It's awareness. It is so much awareness. You know, in Clifton, right, the whole really core of that coaching approach, right, is naming it, right? So that's the identity. Are you aware of that? You know, claiming it, you know, do you have an appreciation of the power and opportunities, right, that that strength brings to you? And do you take ownership of it and aim it, right? Like, how are you going to not only improve that skill, but apply it, right, in the ways that really only you can, or only people with that particular combination? No one has the same particular combination, right, of strengths. And to recognize it's just not a strength that stands alone, right? They're influenced by those others. And so it mm-hmm. it gives you a unique tone, right? I like to say, in whatever approach you have. And it's so true. Like, I had a colleague that went to a recent leadership development, and strengths was a part of it. And she came back and said, like, Bob, I'm orange. You know, everyone does colors, right? We're going to simplify it, but that is essentially an influencing personality, right? So there's strengths, you know, themes and Clifton strengths that are, you know, grouped under this influencing personality. And she said, oh my God, Bob, I'm the only one that I have this color in this whole leadership course. It was, you know, mainly people like us, you know, people in academics. And I said, oh yeah, I can totally see that. And she was just like, what? And I was just like, well, how did that show up for you now that you recognized it? And she said, well, it was true. I was the one that after the day was over, we all needed to go drink. I decided we all needed to go drink. And I got the introverts, the quiet people, you know, everyone else to come out and get this drink with me. And I was just like, that sounds very much like an influencer. In just amazing ways. But I also say, when we know our strengths, and I think this is important, where can I go back and tap into that? So, you know, I'm in a new job here at BCM. I've been here 2.5 years. But in one of my prior jobs, a person came up to me and said, okay, Bob, I'm going to show you the materials we have because I know you like pretty. That's what she said. You like pretty. And no, granted, I did art as a kid. You know, I would be an architect. We just had this kind of conversation last night at my wife's lab dinner party, you know, and that was a question that came up. What would you be if you weren't doing what you're doing now? And I said, I would probably be an architect. And, you know, art and design is something that's always been, it resonates with me. But it was noticed from my colleague that was like, I need to show you this because you like pretty. And so when I took the VIA, right, instrument, one of my top five was just an appreciation of beauty, mm-hmm. right, is there as one of my values, right? So it's a little bit different framework than what StrengthsFinders is. But it's also interesting having taken VIA and StrengthsFinders to see where there's almost an overlap. Like, maybe VIA understands these universal, and it is based off of like 24 kind of universal values. So, you know, Seligman and Peterson went around the globe and said, you know, what are core values that kind of guide us as humans? And so culturally, it's 24 values. And so I think it's interesting when I see my strengths, how it's kind of shown in StrengthsFinders, to compare those to my VIA values. So I like to say, you know, maybe your talents rise are embedded in values, and your strengths are really in those application of talents.
Well, isn't that fascinating that your colleague friend could say you like pretty? And maybe yeah. you would be like, yes, I make that very explicit that I like pretty. Or you could be a person who goes, oh my gosh, how would you know that? So I think it's just so interesting of how we project, the image we project, how people see us when we're consciously trying to convey certain values or strengths, but it's also how, you know, covertly and maybe not purposefully, people can glean from our behavior. So again, back to the awareness of people know you, even if you think they don't know you.
Yes. Yes. And so that's why when people look at their strengths or we do other assessments, I'll be like, go back to someone like that like trusted critic, right? You know, it's that person that you know, but is going to be in your best interest, honest with you.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, it might be a work setting, you know, some of these things they said, you know, think about the work setting, you know, think about, you know, your like personal setting for like some of those thoughts, you know, like, you know, and that helps frame that. But, you know, go back and say, and many times they'll come back and be like, okay, yeah, I had that conversation with that person. I guess it's more accurate than what I thought.
right. Because this, the other good thing, interesting thing about, you know, things like the Myers-Briggs or Clifton strengths is that when we overplay our strength, it can become a weakness. That whole idea of being in the grip or the success in excess. So not only being aware of a strength, but maybe by default, if we're too much of a strategic life. So like when I'm at one of my strengths is being strategic, the dark shadow side of that maybe that I'm always planning, I'm over programming, over preparing. I have these ideas that I don't take the time to explain to my colleagues. And sometimes I'm making a big leap and they're looking at me like, well, how'd you come there? Where is that coming from? Yeah. Or because I'm a futuristic, I'm a dreamer and I'm up in the clouds.
Yeah. Thinking out loud, TOL. I tell people this next statement is going to be thinking out loud. Do not write down on your piece of paper, Bob told me I need to do this.
Well, to me, we're like, I'm the classic extrovert. We talk to think.
Yes.
And introverts think to talk.
And
I get myself because I just throw out a lot of words there and I'm like, well, let me talk because at some point I'm going to bring it home and hit that nail on the head. I got to talk. That's how I think.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's important because there is, you know, this like basement side to things, right? You know, each of those things within what setting does that strength sometimes become a lie, you know, can become a liability for you.
What's the nugget? What's the one thing?
The nugget. So let's just say like, Bob, I'm not going to spend the $20 to do my Clifton strengths, right? Or whatever. 5 clues to talent, right? So free. Do this on the back of an envelope. You know, take this home, do it with your kids, do it with your students, do it with whoever, right? But do it with you first. So I love this. I think this is good. So 5 clues to talent. One is yearning. What kinds of activities are you naturally drawn to? Second one, rapid learning. What activities do you pick up quick? You're a quick learner, right? Things come easy to you. Flow, right? In Dr. Chick Sent Me Highly, something like that. It's a very
Sent Me High. Pathway.
Yeah. And he recently passed away. I learned this like a couple, you know, about. Well, during COVID, he passed away, not because of COVID, but during that era, I like to say, but flow, right? He studied flow, and I love this. So, and those are what activities do you kind of seem to automatically know what step comes next, right? Or time passes quickly when you're doing them.
You're in the groove. Right? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And also like glimpses of excellence is how they frame it. But I also think, you know, glimpses is like you have to recognize it. But I would say like, you know, when you have that question of how did I just do that, right? Some accomplishment, like, I don't know, you know, how I did that. It's great, right? But I don't know how I did that, right? So excellence, right? Excellence when you haven't appreciated it is another thing you think about. And then satisfaction, right? Like, what activities do you do that gives you a sense of accomplishment, either when you're doing them or directly afterwards, right? What activities could you do all day? And if you start to identify what's going on within those 5 situations, you could probably work back to what are the talents undergirding those.
Whew. That's one super valuable 5-part nugget.
Yes, and you don't have to pay to necessarily do that. But I think it is a good start, right? And even now I ask those things in my job, right? Mm-hmm. And what I'm currently doing, particularly when my energy's down, right? Or it's like, oh my God, there's a lot going on here. I go back to those things. Like, are all those things happening? And if not, how do I apply my strengths? How could I apply my strengths to get that back?
Yearning, rapid learning, flow, glimpses of excellence and satisfaction. Boom. Look at all this free stuff. Dr. Bob Tillman's dropping on you. Love it. Dr. Robert Bob Tillman, you are such a gem. And I thank you so much. I value your collaboration. I value your collegiality. I value your friendship. And thank you so much.
Hey there, Faculty Factory listeners. As of April 1st, 2024, this podcast has had nearly 92,000 total downloads and YouTube views from listeners in 95 different countries. FacultyFactory.org has drawn over 42,000 web visits from users in 122 different countries. We are an international platform, and we would love to invite you to be a guest on our show. Our host, Dr. Kimberly Skorupski, makes this a very engaging and relaxing environment. And as the producer, I'll make any edits on the back end if you need it. Reach out if you'd like to be a guest or to nominate someone in our academic medicine community to be a guest. Visit the Contact Us page on facultyfactory.org to send us a message, or contact Dr. Skorupski directly at kskorupski@jhmi.edu.
Thanks for tuning in to Faculty Factory Podcast. The mission of the Faculty Factory is to build and support a community of leaders in faculty development who share tools, resources, wisdom, and encouragement in service to our faculty members, schools, and institutions. We encourage you to go to facultyfactory.org to find out more, get in touch with me, ask me any questions. Maybe you want to be interviewed on the podcast. Thanks for tuning in to Faculty Factory Podcast. We'll see you next time.
The Faculty Factory podcast and website is sponsored by the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine Office of Faculty. For more information, visit facultyfactory.org.